Blog Talk Radio.
Looks like we're shy of one horse.
You brought two too many.
Thank you.
Show 1391. Welcome. And you ready to sit down and get down with the brethren for 2+ hours? For another edition of Soul Tree Radio. In the Raw. I'm your host, Michael Lewis, and DJ Honeycomb. And as always, it's good to be with you. Soul Tree Radio in the Raw, proudly sponsored by BASNNewsroom.com and the Assassin. Of the Black Athlete Sports Network. Get all the good shit. Not some, but all the good shit. The who, what, when, where, why, and sometimes how. Provided by the Assassins of the Black Athlete Sports Network. Check us out at www.basnnewsroom.com. Shout out, of course, to the brothers, especially one particular brother. As Radio Reggie is here, Pat Freeman, the mighty Obar, is somewhere within the wilds of Western New York. The Orlando Ledbetter and Sonic Cheryl Jones are in the mix as well. And again, a happy belated birthday to Sonic Cheryl. And a very special shout out to our beloved brother and comrade, my fellow DJ, who later on today will be doing his 1,000th show. The bad man from the East Bay, Gary Norris Gray. What's up, G?
Where the A's going to play this year?
you don't want to live there. Is it really that bad now?
It's getting worse better as we go. See, the city has told the commission that you have to make a decision. You have to make a decision. By June 12th. There is a state board meeting in July 2nd is a state board meeting.
Right.
We will know by that week where it's going to be
at. Mm-hmm. Are you really surprised it has come this far? Because
no.
this is not like a corner grocery store, a pro baseball team. Is generating major revenue. We got Radio Reggie with us as well.
Look, it's beyond, this is, okay, we're going on year 35.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing does it. 35 mm-hmm. years, you can't still decide what you're going to do? Come on, man.
Well, you know, this is more than annoying. You're taking jobs away. You're taking a level of perceived prestige away. And nobody can fix this. I mean, come on.
Well, last night on sports radio, they were saying Oakley could lose the team and get a expansion team. I don't want no expansion team here.
It doesn't make sense. Why would you want to get rid of the team and put an expansion team in there if you got the same location that you're dealing with? Reggie, help a brother out with this. What the hell? What in the ham sandwich are they talking about?
Woo-ah-wah, Warner Buffalo. Let's be honest, guys. The bottom line is this. If they get a new expansion team, the owners get more money. But all of them sharing the pie, number one.
Yeah.
Number two, if they go ahead just like the NFL, each owner would dictate terms as far as how the money divvy up. Number two, the local economy would have to put up money to bring an expansion team in there, a new stadium. That's what it is.
I'm glad you brought the stadium up again. These moves do not want to pay for a stadium.
Somebody going to pay for it. If they want an expansion team, somebody going to pay for it. Look,
what?
Okay, Gary. I give you a perfect example. the Los Angeles Rams, a.k.a. St. Louis Rams, the people at the local level were ready to put up some hundred and some million dollars for a new stadium, and they just had a new stadium there that was even that old, less than 20 years old. And what happened, they went to L.A., and they became, what, the second or third? They went from, like, the last fucking franchise as far as overall net value to, like, the second or third. And guess what? Each owner, when they came to L.A., each owner got a kickback for money. That's extra millions of dollars again.
Well,
come on, guys. This ain't rocket science.
I got one caveat to that, too. I believe that this is racially motivated. What I mean is this. The flatheads of Oakland are basically Latino and black. The hills of Oakland are white and Asian. The hills do not want to buy a stadium. The flatheads, they will. See, I think it's a racial thing going on here.
It sounds like a hillbilly feud, the way you talk about it, with the uplanders and them folks down in the lower valley. Well, yeah, you know, I'm being facetious, but that's exactly what it sounds like. What I don't get, though, is, okay, you're telling somebody we want the team to leave so we can get an expansion team. What makes you think they're going to give you an expansion team if they leave?
That's it.
Jesus. Okay, so Gary, most importantly, how much will this cost Oakland? Will it ever be looked at seriously as a so-called big city because they're losing a team like this?
No, I think once the Raiders moved out of here, that was the end. That was the end of Oakland.
Reggie, can you see the dollars and cents in this? Do you think in any shape, fashion, or form that Oakland's going to get an expansion team?
No, sir.
I don't think so either.
No, sir. I can tell you the sad thing about it is that these guys had an opportunity to get the football stadium right, and they didn't. Had an opportunity to get the baseball stadium right, and they didn't. So why the hell do you think they're going to try to sit and work with them now? It ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
And the basketball team told them 10 years ago, we want a new arena. They said no. They said, well, okay, we'll see you later. We're going to San Francisco.
San Francisco, here we come. And look at them now.
Well, I think somebody really screwed up because you go down to Los Angeles and you see the brand new stadium that was built. The one that made the Rams come back to the West Coast and will be the site of Super Bowl, which is 56, 57, one of these 50s. But anyway, that place is going to be packed for this year's Super Bowl. And the people in Oakland are going to look like the country bumpkins because they're going to get all the gravy and they're not going to get anything. So upland, lowland, wherever is going to be broke land because they ain't getting any of this action.
Well, Michael, before the stadium was built in L.A., the Raiders were tapped to go to L.A. again. And they said, no, we don't want the Raiders down here. So they got San Diego Chargers instead.
Interesting. Well, yep. I say this. If Oakland's going to die, because they lost a team like this, the way they're doing it, there should be a whole lot of folks getting their asses fired. Let me ask this, G. Other than the A's, what does Oakland have in its proper area?
What does Oakland have? They have the museum, the Oakland Museum, they have the zoo, they have... Theater, which is the West Coast, like the Paramount Theater is like the New York
Like Madison Square Garden?
Apollo. Yeah. It's the Apollo. It's
oh, you got the Apollo. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. So other than the A's, ain't much.
This is my thing, gentlemen. When big money gets involved, case in point, when Trumpy and gangsters tried to stop the investigation of the Cheetahs, a.k.a. the Patriots, New England Patriots, and Bob Kraft,
mm-hmm.
in the end of the Hall Inspector and them boys said, $10 million look good, but I just can't figure out how I can justify stopping this without getting my ass in a lurch. Now,
yep.
some 30 years later or whatever, it comes out that this happened to leak to the media. Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to forget, the owner of Orangutan is still pissed because he tried to buy the Buffalo Bills, and he got underbid. He ran the American Football League in the ground where his payment
was
$1 or $2.
It was USFL.
Yeah. So the bottom line is that with this crooked administration that has all tried to do an overall coup of this country, the standards have been set by the people in power, a.k.a. the Barry Gordon, Cranston Republicans, and Joe Manchin, that sorry-ass blue dog Dixiecrat. You have the level of fear of people being rich, overseas money, and Michael's favorite, Citizens United under Obama. Way to go, Barack. They're not afraid because they can go ahead and do anything they want. And they got the Supreme Court and the people in power behind them.
Yeah.
Reggie's right. There's a lot of meat in that sandwich because all of this illustrates, if we just talk about the day-to-day operations of an NFL franchise, the TV obligations, the amount of money that's spent on people going in and out, how Southwest Airlines grew simply because of Oakland moving to Los Angeles and how that became part of the NFL's universe so distinctly that the NFL named Southwest Airlines their official airline.
You have too many. This is how crazy this is. You have too many organizations fighting over this team who's in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
It's the radio station again. $1 million contract to broadcast again. Are you crazy?
Somebody's not crazy. Somebody was trying to be clever because they realized the money that was coming in here. Now, it wasn't because Vegas wasn't attractive before. It was because they couldn't get their hypocritical asses from talking out of both sides of their neck about gambling. Now gambling is all right. As a matter of fact, gambling is endorsed now. So
Mike, now have you ever heard a Raider broadcast? Who's the voice of the Raiders on the radio? Can somebody tell me?
Isn't it Dougie was.
No, I'm talking about now. Who's doing the voice of the Raiders? Lincoln Kennedy and Grant Musburger.
Oh, okay.
Now,
Musburger.
And the first thing they do is talk about gambling. This show is sponsored by gambling. This show is sponsored by FanView. Garrett, they're going to make it up already. They're not worried about making money up. The gambling is the way they're going to make it up. So that's why they're fighting over it because of NFL rights.
It surprises me that the team moves to Las Vegas. And you have two Bay Area TV stations fighting over. You gotta be kidding me, man.
Well,
I
it's
just
not so much they're fighting over it.
Come on, man. This ain't rocket science.
It's not so much they're gonna be fighting over it, Gary. It's the fact that they know that these are options that are gonna exist in this financial vacuum. And all of these things have to be part of the big picture. You know, Oakland knew, as long as they were the Raiders, that they were guaranteed at least $250 million every year. That's their share, their cut of the TV pop. So even before anybody bought a hot dog or a pendant or a cap, that's what Oak already had in the bank. You just write off that kind of money. And now with a baseball team, even though I can't predict long-term the numbers they would generate, even a reasonably competitive baseball team is going to warrant something. At least half a million dollars.
Michael, I told a friend of mine the other day about this.
Mm-hmm.
I think the A's are going to move Las Vegas.
Whoa.
I think the A's are going to move to Las Vegas because they're building a ballpark in Vegas right now.
Mm-hmm.
A baseball park in Vegas right now.
I'm not surprised. But
they're building a ballpark in
Portland, Oregon right now. Gary, I'm not surprised, but look at the thing here. Okay, the gambling thing is part of this imprint now. There ain't going to be no more excuses about it. There ain't going to be no, oh, gambling, how horrible, blah, 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 FanDuel, all these other sons of bitches. They're in there now, thick as thieves. So, okay, now you have shows sponsored by FanDuel. You have baseball parks with the sliding
yep.
bunting, advertising,
yep.
Reggie's Casino, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The bloom's off the rose. Don't nobody have to pretend anymore. Nobody has to talk out the side of their ass about baseball, gambling, and all that stuff. Gambling
yep.
is now part of the life's blood. The XFL even showed you what was going on as the game would play, and they would tell you what the over and under was on the games so
yep.
that you knew if the teams were driving, They needed to get these points in order to get in there. They weren't even so much concerned about the winning as they were just making sure that the over was covered. So we don't have any pretense about this anymore. Oakland is a little late to the party, and people's heads should roll because of it. I don't think anybody's going to get fired from being mayor or anything else because they've lost the baseball team now. Unless I'm wrong, please tell me. What's up?
I think Mayor Kwan
mm-hmm.
lost the mayorship because of the A's.
Okay.
And Mayor Kwan got first elected.
Mm-hmm.
Mayor Kwan said, "I'm keeping the A's in Oakland." Mayor Kwan waffled 3 or 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
Game time for the election 4 years later, Mayor Kwan lost by a landslide. I believe because she couldn't make up her mind.
Well, okay, she couldn't make up her mind, but apparently the city of Oakland did. The people who lived there did. And nobody opened their mouth effectively enough to say, do you guys realize what's going to be missing here?
Yep.
Obviously, Oakland must be the redheaded stepchild of the East Bay. I don't doubt that. But the fact that they've lost the team and they hope to get a franchise in expansion mode is a foolish notion. Major League Baseball is not in that position to even offer that, let alone anything else. They've made it clear that Oakland is not going to be welcome.
Michael, if the A's leave, which I think they are out the door, if the A's leave,
mm-hmm.
baseball can say, okay, close the door, that's it. We're done with Oakland. You don't have to do any Oakland anymore. That's it.
Yeah.
You have a Coliseum complex that will sit empty for 12 weeks, it'll be empty with nobody in it.
Mm-hmm.
How do you justify keeping the maintenance of the Coliseum with nobody there?
Well, aside from your input, G, what's the local vibe? What are they telling people? Why are they allowing this to happen?
There's no money. They claim to be broke.
Mm-hmm.
They claim that the city is broke. I can't believe that, Mike.
Reggie, I know you remember what happened.
In California, had $250 million surplus this year. I can't be broke.
it's not a surplus, then it's bad planning. Somebody overestimated the value of being in Oakland as far as the league is concerned. So now logistically, they're going to lose, because if they do eventually go to Las Vegas, it's a moot point. Las Vegas used to be a AAA farm team, for, at least by several clubs. But in the world of gambling, Las Vegas moves up in class. Oakland drops down. And if they ever put a minor league franchise back in Oakland, it'll be an afterthought. I don't know.
No, it won't be a minor league. Oakland will not support a minor league team.
Well, what makes them think they'll endorse an expansion team if they're just losing this one now? This is not New York or Chicago.
Well, the way the A's gave it was 82, okay? I'm getting your name. Johnny O'Finley.
Charlie Finley, yeah. Mm-hmm.
He bought the A's in Kansas City.
Right.
He told Kansas City, I want a new ballpark. Kansas City said, see you later.
Mm-hmm. And he moved to Oakland and they endorsed it. Yes. That was a while ago.
Oakland was building the Coliseum as they died.
But, guys, we've seen this before. I mean, what happened with the Brooklyn Dodgers? Well, they're not being there. Next thing you know, hey, where'd they go? They're gone. And we've seen this like a Shakespeare play. But, see, Gary, this is why I got an issue with what you're talking about. When you got young folks, and help me understand this, Gary, what is the percentage as far as voter registration there in Oakland? Number one, hold on, I got two questions to ask you. Number one, what is the percentage of people, new voters, that are upset about this issue, how they register people to go out and fight for it? And number three, where are the grassroots out there other than you? Put yourself out there, Gary. Where are the grassroots efforts out there to try to keep
the
number one,
the young people in Oakland do not care about the A's. They don't give a rat's behind about the A's. I mean, the reason why is because of Billy Ball, and it's the guitar of Billy Ball.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is, we have a really high voting percentages in the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
It's very high.
Okay.
New Jersey is a stepchild of New York, right?
Right. Yes.
Well, Oakland is a stepchild of San Francisco.
If it's such a high, then why are they talking about moving the team? Obviously, they don't respect the voters. They don't fear them.
But then again,
obviously, they must don't fear the voters, because if you have a high concentration of voters out there, those are people that can vote people out of office. So if they're moving forward with this idea, we don't have no money, we're not putting the stadium up, obviously, they don't fear the people voting.
Exactly. Gary, was there ever a referendum, anything put to a vote to the people regarding funds or bonds to build a new stadium that was voted on by the people of Oakland or even proposed by a politician?
No, there was a referendum.
So that's my problem with the grassroots. See, this should have been grassroots individuals out there pushing this agenda. And see, that's why the Republicans can do what they do. In the interest of
Oakland Alameda County Coliseum Board with the Oakland City Council.
Right.
And they have all these different political groups fighting against each other. It's like World War III over here.
So what does that tell you? Obviously, they don't fear the vote. That's what it tells me. I mean, for them to look at brain expansion teams, for them to the rich history of the Oakland Athletics, There's no excuse for them to be looking at going somewhere else.
I agree.
And then you know they turn that football field into a baseball field within the blink of a hat. That was the first thing they did. They built that football field because they knew
that's
they
right.
used to do it with the old Oakland facilities when the Raiders were in Oakland. They played baseball.
Well, I mean, the city of Oakland is a Raider, Oakland Raider town.
Well, it ain't anymore.
Black and silver, man.
Las Vegas said we got the black and silver now. We got the stadium to prove it.
Oh, I know.
There ain't no more.
Mm-mm.
I mean, I know it's a touchy subject with you, Gary, and I know it's bothering you, and it will bother me too. But the bottom line, I hate to say this, is that the politicians have learned a lesson on a crooked ass Trump, where they say as long as you got enough people in our coffers. And we can win by 5 votes, 1,000 votes, 10 votes. We don't care. As long as we bend the rules and we win, we get paid while they suffer.
Well, I knew once the Raiders left the Vegas, I knew the ball game was over then.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. If Oakland's gone in the hearts and minds of sports fans everywhere in terms of relevance, what kind of argument could they ever make to say we deserve an expansion franchise?
They know they're going to have to build. Hold on.
They're going to have to build a stadium one way or another. So
you're delaying the inevitable. Thank you.
Yeah, you're delaying the inevitable. You're playing some stupid political game because you know no matter what you do, a stadium is going to be involved, and everything that goes
Thank
with
you.
That stadium is also involved. How are you going to improve this situation by saying, okay, well, we'll come up with a new stadium 4 or 5 years down the road if you give us an expansion
mm-hmm.
franchise?
Hey, Michael, 25 years ago, they were told, blow the Coliseum up, and build a new one.
We're not doing that.
Here we are,
2021.
The Coliseum
is falling to pieces. Hey, you did get a stadium. It's just in L.A. And your dogs in Oakland helped pay for it because you're part of the California state. So you guys helped pay for it. Way to go, Gary.
I am not a happy camper right now.
Hey, Mike, I know I'm poking
the bear, but I can't help myself. I understand you poking the bear, but let's go back at Oakland franchises.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, they were in this as far as the 60s. You had the California Golden Seals as an expansion franchise in the National Hockey League. They did not last long, and part of it was because they weren't very good. So they didn't attract the people they needed to. All right? So, of course,
you got to remember, back in the 90s, hockey was not a black-oriented sport as it is today.
Well, it's still not as black-oriented as it should be, but it doesn't matter. The bottom line was, if they had a good team, they could have
I get that.
Listen, all I'm saying is that part of the reason why hockey wasn't successful in Oakland was because they had a bad fucking team.
Actually,
Gilles Malosh was a pretty good goaltender. He was under siege most of the time, and we never saw how good he was because he didn't have a defense. But that's a two-drink conversation. The point I'm making is that Oakland did not have a successful hockey team in large part because of mismanagement and the fact that the people who were entrusted with gaining talent for the team didn't do a very good job. So you get to the A's come in from Kansas City, and they have a period of dominance. I mean, from what, 72 to 75, the A's were among the baddest franchises, and I mean bad in terms of good, in the American League. You know, people, it was either the thing with the mustaches or the fact that they just had a lot of brothers who were amazing athletes, Vita Blue, Blue Moon Odom, Reggie Jackson. I mean, Mike Norris, all these cats. They had brothers up and down the wazoo who showed how good they were. And then the Yankees started picking them off as Steinbrenner turned them into a farm team,
yep,
taking all their people. So Oakland had their time in the sun. Of course, the Raiders, you know, that's a separate story. But apparently something was missing in Oakland's front office, and I don't mean the teams, I mean now the city fathers, to make them think, well, we got to let them go. You know, that's not a decision that a league would look at saying, well, you know, we're going to let Oakland back in 4 or 5 years. No, they're not. Listen, out of all the four sports, baseball is the worst scenario because they're the one flagging the most right now.
Yep.
Baseball's not going to want an Oakland baseball team back into the mix again. I'm just saying simply dollars and cents now, and I ain't a logical cat, but if it makes sense to me, I know it makes sense to everybody else. So they dropped the ball on this big time, and they can't blame anybody but themselves.
That's right. You're right. I think Oakland is a complete disaster.
Well, unfortunately for Oakland, it's going to be last person out. Turn the lights off. And we're not just talking about the stadium, the whole city.
Yeah.
Well, let me put it this way. You just talked about these uplanders and lowlanders. How do other Californians feel about Oakland? What's the vibe you get, or what is what they tell you?
Well, that's that Oakland is that's in San Francisco.
Okay.
Look, Michael, when somebody tells you they're going to the Bay Area, where do they think you're going?
San Francisco or San Jose?
San Jose or up the wide country,
right? Yeah, Marin County.
That's why, yeah. Oakland is a blue-collar
mm-hmm.
workaholic that's what it is.
Right. Let me ask you this. And Reggie, you on this as well. How does this affect property values? Now, you notice how when people talk real estate, they always talk about how bad neighborhood affects the whole neighborhood. This is a different situation, but maybe it's likely similar, if I can articulate this properly. You lose a team. So how does that affect property values? If you had a house near the Coliseum, did your value just increase or decrease because the team left?
You asking me or asking Reggie?
I'm asking both of you guys.
Oh, the property value will go up because it's just where it is. It's in California, so it's going to go up.
Well, I know in Virginia, your value is going to go down because, see, we got a situation now where we trying to get these bastards to take down the Robert E. Lee statue. And guess what the
mm-hmm.
homeowner said? Our property value will go down if y'all get rid of statue because it's a tourist
wow.
attraction. Of course,
mm-hmm.
we know that's not the case, but that's the logic that they're using.
That's a good point, Reggie. So we know Oakland is kind of like foundering because they're trying to give you an objective argument, and there's nothing objective about losing money.
Thanks.
The mayor, whoever else is connected with the city, y'all lost money. Our people
yeah.
are leaving. Those jobs that kids or others could get from game
yeah.
day and concessions and everything else, they're
yeah.
losing money. So
yeah.
how are you going to tell somebody in the same breath, well, we'll do it better next time, give us an expansion franchise? That shit don't work like that.
I think Oakland is beginning to understand that because I think mainly baseball already warned them and they lose A, they're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bad situation.
Yeah, it's definitely a bad situation. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, That aside, let me get back to some more current sports stuff. Let me ask you.
I'm waiting on the popcorn and the spit. Let's get down with that.
Let me ask you this. Okay, no matter what happens, is it up to the city fathers to convince Major League Baseball that they need a second bite of the apple when they know Major League Baseball told them in so many words to fuck off because maybe the Las Vegas A's or whatever A's are going to be playing? You got to look at this as not just the selective process. You got to also look at this as a process of elimination thing. Oakland just got pushed to the back of the line. You got San Antonio, Texas, who's had a new stadium, well, not even a new stadium, but a functioning stadium for years. You had the New Orleans Saints ready to move there until they got strong-armed because after Hurricane Katrina, the league took pity on them and angled to get them back in there so that San Antonio would not be an expansion site for them. The Saints would not move. They'll stay in New Orleans, and they made accommodations for them even though some games were played in San Antonio. So San Antonio's like, all right, we'll get along with that. But what does Oakland have that they can say, all right, we'll get along? I just don't think they have anything. Am I wrong?
They do. There's nothing in Oakland. I mean, nothing in Oakland. Other than the Coliseum, that's it.
Baseball notwithstanding, there are still other sports going on. And we have to say, with all the failures that baseball's had, hockey has had tremendous success thus far. Hockey is no surprise. For the last few years, their product has gotten better and better and better. And one reason I understand why is Reggie, because I don't want to surmise Reggie, but I get the feeling Reggie's a fan by default because they're there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've ever been a really serious hockey fan, Reggie, but I understand what you're saying. You're paying attention to the Caps because they're a competitive team. You won a Stanley Cup in recent years.
So they're going to
demand part of the sports talk whenever something goes down in the city. And now, you know, the Capitals are part of that talk, whether they win or not.
Right. The sad thing about it, a lot of times in hockey, we hear about these racist men because a certain black player made a goal and they got all pissed off. Oh, that makes everybody upset. Why is every time when
the NHL put the drugs in San Jose? Why they do that? They put them in Oakland, but in San Jose, there's a reason.
Logistically, there's definitely a reason why they went to San Jose. But whatever it was the NHL was looking at was working because they had done their due diligence. The San Jose Sharks came out, and they were one of the hottest draws in the league. They didn't win right away, but they had that area covered. And fans, you got Tony McClain in there. Fans were going there. Fans were excited by them. And when we think about it, because they weren't as massive a success as the Vegas Golden Knights were, but they were a success. And they didn't win right away, but they were popular because of a lot of the marketing that they did, the fact that San Jose had a pro team, and people embraced it. They were among the leaders in attendance for at least 2-3 seasons before things kind of stabilized.
I think Oakland blew it because it had the drugs.
And also there was the Gretzky effect as well.
Yes.
The Gretzky effect. Right. In fact, there's a great, if you ever catch NHL Network, they have a great documentary on that second expansion in the NHL. Mm-hmm. They have us one on the 67 expansion as well. But
right.
Also with San Jose, you know, basically San Jose is the blue-headed stepchild of the old California Golden Seals.
Okay.
Well, yeah. The only difference is they don't wear the white. They don't wear the white skates. Thank goodness. So,
I love the white skates, man. That's so cool.
All the white dudes.
And the thing is, they, you know, them and also of course the Anaheim Ducks, because you had Disney, you know, pushing that brand as well through the movie.
Yeah.
So it's. You know, they took advantage of the marketing. Now I think the Sharks, the Red Wings?
Yes,
that was
they did.
During their first during
they did.
Their, when they,
they
went
were
to, when they
eight.
Made the playoffs the first time.
They were 8 seed and they beat them 1. Yes, they did. That's exactly right.
Yeah, and it seems like they've been paying for that ever since.
Yeah. But it helps if you have a competitive team.
You look
at what San Jose did. Everybody thought that was the gold standard until the Golden Knights came. We have seen
and
the Golden Knights. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. No, please.
No, I'm sorry. We've seen the Vegas Golden Knights put together, sorry, Gary, a standard of excellence, of competitive.
Every year,
Vegas has been in existence. They've been in the playoffs. Of course, that first year was outrageous with Gerard Gallant finding all that talent. But now they're a steady and constant threat in the playoffs. 4 years in.
And what's going to be interesting to see what happens with the Seattle team because I don't know if they had the numbers like Vegas had going in, because Vegas going in had 13,000 season ticket holders. I don't know what the thing is. I don't know what the thing is for Seattle. I mean, I'm gathering that they had to have something because they were able to get the franchise on their own. You know, they're the only expansion. Which now I'd be very surprised if they're able to have a first year like the Knights did, because you know the Knights was it was a perfect storm for them.
Yeah,
I don't think you're ever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's going to be some players.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, but I don't. Let's put it this way: if Seattle makes it to the finals their first year, God bless them. But I don't see.
Yeah,
it. I think right now they'd be just happy to. I think they'd just be happy to make the playoffs at this point in time.
Well,
right
also, Golden Knights. Riding an emotional ride.
The shooting. Before
the season started.
I got that, Gary. But you know what? You can't ride that for so long because you got to still get on the ice and flip. You know, but what Vegas has done is that when people play the Knights, they realize that they're a counterattacking team. They're not the kind of team that's going to get blown out 4-1 on a given night. It'll always be close. So your defense always has to be good. You always got to be careful about taking care of your game. And they've not only ridden that, it's established. Everybody knows you're going to play Vegas, it's going to be a rough game.
They reached a level of consistency that most sports franchises dream about, not just the NHL.
Thank you.
I mean, they've been around with it now 3-4 years now, and
that's right.
They are one of the most stable, not just the most one of the most stable NHL franchises. They're one of the most stable franchises in all of professional sports. And remember, they had a lot going with that because they this was going to be the litmus test for decent sports, and they more than came through flying colors. Now the folks at the casino, their shirts and their underwear because of it. But in the long run, it worked. It sort of leveled itself off, and now that's why you have the Raiders. And I think it's just a matter of time whether they get either an NBA team or a Major League Baseball mm-hmm. team or possibly both?
I think both is the correct answer because Seattle, I can't say they prepared for this, but the Seattle Thunderbirds have been the minor league there. They've been the minor league staple there for years.
Exactly.
And the creation of the Kraken on the heels of the success of the Vegas Golden Knights was made possible. So Vegas did Seattle a favor in doing this. Now, maybe this does get Seattle a basketball team back as an after effect, but now the NHL map will be covered with Seattle taking care of the West. They'll be getting it on with Vancouver consistently, and I'm sure they will develop some delicious hostility that will make for a rivalry because rivalry is good business.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's you know, it's funny. It took the NHL all these years to realize, hey, maybe we ought to regionalize.
Exactly. But they seem to have the formula right. Their game is right. Their postseason product is right. So I'll go out on a limb. Gentlemen, will hockey one day surpass baseball?
I'll say overall no, because mm-hmm. even though we know baseball, you know, literally finds ways to mess up their own game at times, I think because of the old standard, they won't. I mean, now, let's put it this way. It depends on the area. And I don't mean to be vague, but it's just,
mm-hmm.
it depends on, because look, put it this way. In the big cities, you know, New York, L.A., Chicago, or what have you, they're going to have their monocoma fans, but I don't think they'll ever surpass. Now,
mm-hmm.
I know in 94, when the Rangers and Canucks went to a seventh game, they got higher ratings than the World Series that year before. But see, you also have to remember they were coming off the heels of no baseball at that time. They had a captive audience.
Yeah.
Certain areas are going to do, you know, I find it very ironic, and I was talking to somebody on this online.
Mm-hmm.
You watch all the crowds that have been at the American games this year for the hockey, and Canada is still in COVID mode. And that's the crazy part, you know. You mm-hmm. would, you know, look, I get it and everything. Everybody's still being cautious, whatever. But when you realize that you've got, you know, Toronto, Montreal, which is, you know, what, and you know, the ultimate, you know, Big Six rivalry, you know, you mm-hmm. had who just was it? I know Vegas went seven, and what is it? The other series has gone like
right now.
Six,
well,
too, right?
Montreal and Toronto's gone to seven.
Okay, yeah, they're gonna go seven. Tonight, I think mm-hmm. their game is tonight, but it's weird that Canada still is that you know I'm really surprised that they didn't just say, you know what, the hell with it, we're gonna open up the gates, because if there was ever a time to do it, especially this year, because of the because look, everything is regional.
Yeah.
You know, you got Boston getting ready to play the Islanders. What's the other? Now, Florida is about to play who now? I'm sorry, not Florida. Tampa. Tampa is going to get the winner.
Tampa. Yes.
Yeah, Tampa is going to get the winner of what series?
Excuse me. Shit, I'm bugging out.
It's like, you know, well, Winnipeg, you see, Winnipeg is, I think that's who Vegas plays next, Winnipeg, right?
Yes, that's right.
Because, mm-hmm. see, I'll be honest with you. I've been following the schedule, but I'll be honest with you. I literally just get up in the morning and say, okay, who's playing? And just look, I'll grab the NHL app or the NBA app and just find, okay, mm-hmm. who's playing tonight? And go mm-hmm. from there. Now, I believe they're going to put the Islanders-Bruins game on NBC, the network, not
that would be intriguing.
Yes.
Uh-huh. That would be intriguing.
Well, it makes sense. I mean, you know, two huge markets. You know, it just makes sense. On the you know, on a Saturday night. Now they're going up against whatever NBA playoff game is going on tonight, and plus whatever baseball or what have you.
It's like they're holding their own. And Reggie, did you become a Caps fan because they were winning, or did all of a sudden hockey become attractive to you because they were talking about the Caps?
Well, I mean, if you listen to local sports talk show, and we do have diversity on the sports talk show, you have black commentators, you know, talking about it. Then you had the brother who they used to doing the playoffs and doing a hell of a job on hockey. And I was like, damn, who's this dude? I mean, so a lot of times it's about the environment, you know, where you're at and what's going on. And basically, you know, with talk radio being in D.C., you had Brian Mitchell, you had Scott Walker. And these guys, you know, talking hockey. And then, you know, with the sitting down the feet of you guys, you give me a history lesson as far as the Popeye Jones and other guys who come into the league. But what really pissed me off was that every time you had a Washington Capitals, especially a black player, make a goal, you had the racist comments come out. You had the racist, you know, the racist epithet come out. And, of course, from Boston.
Racial strife in Boston. Go figure.
I guess that's why Kyrie Irving boys are off tonight. They were so worried about
Kyrie, you know, has the nerve to be a black man that has somewhat of a mind of his own, you know, albeit a little quirky. But, you know, to further along that line, you know, there was an incident also in Utah this week as well. You know, I know I know a lot was made of the stuff at the Garden, and a lot was made of the stuff of Philly, but Utah had a situation as well. And see, you know, we're not that far removed from the malice of the palace, and
no, we are not.
You know, and again, that, you know, as much as everybody tried to put that on Ron Artest's shoulders, if the brother, if the guy doesn't throw the beer at him, it's not happening.
Exactly. And people forget this.
No, go ahead. But see, even more so now when we're still in the midst of MAGA mania, and the backlash of that, and you know, there's still folks that try to play the shut up and dribble card.
Yep.
With these guys, you know, the NBA needs to get that in check. Now, I know they, I know in the two instances in New York and Philly, that person was banned, but see, neither one of them were season ticket holders. And
let's be honest,
it's nothing. See, those season ticket holders and, you know, as I drown in my beer, where the hell were all these people in Atlanta that showed up last night? I mean, it was. I thought I was at a Cat Williams concert. I thought I was at a Cat Williams concert for a minute there, watching all the folks the Atlanta game.
And we get to see them do it again too. You see them go back to back with fans. You know,
It's you know, playoffs is you can catch lightning in the bottle. Now, we saw it last year in the bubble, but, you know, and I remember I said this to both of you. Somebody, you know, there's going to be an upset in this first round. It's not going to be chalk all the time. Now, granted, if Atlanta wins, it will be somewhat of an upset because they're the lower seed, but a 4 and a 5, there's not that big of a difference. You know, the only reason why the Knicks have the home court is because they swept them during the regular seasons. But
that's
you can see how much that's helping them right now.
Yeah, no kidding. But ultimately, when it comes to this whole sports madness, when it's postseason, it is all about momentum and chemistry. Knicks.
Yeah.
Gained momentum during the season. Now, do they have the chemistry to carry them through? They got
the thing
in,
I was,
they've been to,
the thing that was always worrying to me was when they had the 10-game winning streak was that did they peak then? because you know, they've only had glimpses of what they were in the regular season. And you know, look, we don't need, you know, you don't need me to tell you that the regular season in the NBA means, you know, means diddly poo for the most part, because I'm concerned about Randall and Barrett, because they've you know, they're basically a missed basket away from being on a damn milk carton at this point in time right now.
But you can generate so much energy to get to a goal that, okay, you get to the goal, but then at the next level, you realize you've run out of gas. And I'm not saying the Knicks have run out of gas. What I am saying is, with any franchise, any sports franchise, there's an ebb and flow that the people in the front office recognize, the people in the city around them recognize. I mean, that's part of what happened to Oakland. Okay, the A's go and play ball, and it's an intimate crowd. So they know they got to do something about that. So, okay, they lower prices on a certain day so that folks can come in and really watch. But the stadium is either too old or dilapidated. I don't see any reason or see thing that verifies that. But people aren't just geared up to go and watch the A's play. Attendance-wise, they've been in the lower echelon for a couple of years now. A new stadium is not going to solve the problem. And being an expansion team is not going to solve the problem, because why the hell would we want to expand to you when you weren't successful with us the first go around?
Yeah,
there's a lot of mismanagement going on.
And the thing about it is, if they had just kept the upkeep of the stadium, I think they wouldn't have had, you know, now Al Davis has a lot to do with it, because he basically, for lack of a better word, he basically raped the city twice when he left and when
he
came back. And
yeah,
now
he did.
And now they're, you know, whatever. Let's put it this way. I would hope for the loyal fans of Oakland that they would stay there, but it's I don't see it. I really don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. And I don't know if moving to San Jose is going to be the be all to end all for them to solve their problems. But I hope, let's put it this way, if nothing else, because of the history of that franchise, I hope that they're able, you know, and granted, you know, they're the, you know, they were in Philly, they were in Kansas City, you know, now they've been in Oakland. So maybe it's just, you know, maybe it's just a natural progression for this franchise to go to a fourth city now.
Yeah, you're right. That is kind of a nomadic existence. I forgot about Philadelphia Athletics and there were two teams playing. So, okay, that's that is saying a lot. Gentlemen, at the top of the hour, our colleague Gary Norris Gray will be producing his 1,000th show. Now, that's covering at least 7 years worth of shows. Veggie, I know you've been doing the show for 20 years. What was it like? What was it like when you first met Gary, heard Gary, and then realized he was doing his own show?
I said, "This Negro crazy." I remember the part that y'all had a female on when you did an old show, and she was attacking Gary, and come to find out she was a plant for y'all's show. I'm sure y'all remember that one.
Yeah,
Gary had it so upset and so frustrated that you have a European woman come on and try to sabotage a black show. And it made me mad that she went after Gary. Of all people, if you want to be a big person, go after somebody that you think
you're
going to
be able to. We got rid of her for that nonsense.
Gary won't have it.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing that got me was in Gary's show that you had a situation Gary knew if he was given the opportunity that he could roll with the show. And I told him point blank, Gary, hey, you and Mike got it. Ain't no conversation. Y'all got it. And for the, like 3 or 4 years, y'all guys did the whole show for August. And, of course, when T-Mac came on board, and Gary had the writing with the people in Syracuse, University of Syracuse, saying, how you write this article about us? This isn't true. You got to tell the mail on that one, didn't you, Big G?
Well,
yeah, we've had our share of love letters from various parts of the country.
If you make them uncomfortable, that means you're doing your job.
Pretty much.
I made somebody leave. I'm doing my job. Him and Dick Gregory.
Tony, you knew Gary before I did. What did you like about Gary, and what surprised you most about him?
I think the whole thing is, you know, what Gary, you know, has always been his humanity. Now we get on him because, you know, he has a, you know, high moral threshold, and I get it. You know, this time, you know, you always want to think better of things and situations, but I think that's always what set him apart from most writers, you know. And needless to say, I think, and, you know, I can't really take that much credit because, you know, again, I go back to, you know, our guy, Rowan Rogers, who basically gave Gary his opportunity. I just, all I basically did was just, you know, did what I do with all you guys, just, you know, allow you to, you know, use the gifts that you already have to enhance it. And whether it's through the writing or whether it's through the physical shows, it's always been there. Like I've always said, all of Gary's humanity has always been there. It's just we gave him an opportunity to use it, and see, therein lies the difference. Because sadly, in some other forums, Gary wouldn't be allowed to express himself the way he has. And that's more on the folks that are trying to suppress him more than anything else. Because especially now, when there's such a, you know, for lack of a better word, you know, just all sorts of BS that passes off as journalism. And see, again, I always fall back on, you know, journalism. It's you know, at the end of the day, we're journalists. You know, we have our fun and we, you know, whatever. But at the end of the day, we inform folks. And again, we're not, you know, we don't try to force issues or opinions. We literally just say, this is our opinion. But again, you got to believe me or whatever. See for yourself. And unfortunately, in the society that we have now, they don't want any free thinkers and let alone free thinking black men and free thinking disabled black men. I mean, you know,
that's right. Most definitely. I think what makes Gary special to me, Gary's always been a critical thinker, and a lot of times folks don't have the patience to take in stuff he's saying. And I think when that's been implemented, I know from the first few times I started to interact with him, I'm like, all right. And he's looking at it in a way, I was like, oh, I didn't think about that. Okay, G, I like
that.
And that's exactly how this has come along. His ability to think, not just outside the box, but to have another box add to that makes him special. And, of course, he is Mr. Big, so he got the six and shit like that. And, you know, he may do a drive-by on everybody now and then with things like the Washington football
team, and the mascots, only when it's absolutely positively necessary. Which unfortunately has become damn near all the time now.
Exactly. But 1,000 shows at the top of the hour, we're going to show Gary love. Everybody's going to be there and do their thing for him. And, gentlemen, at this time, do you have a favorite Gary situation?
Reggie, do you have a favorite Gary?
When Gary wrote about the Washington football team changing the name, and I'll be damned if it didn't.
Yeah, I think that's going to, you know, that's his legacy, and I think that's a hell of a legacy to have. Now, unfortunately, they're still dragging their feet in regard to changing the name. But see, also,
exactly.
it's led to Cleveland doing the same thing in regards
yep.
to their name as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah. It's and that's the thing. You know, that's something that he could always be very proud of, and I think that's something. And see, that's where using journalism as activism,
mm-hmm.
you know, works out perfectly because
true activism.
And
yes.
You know, and yeah, because end of the day, the only difference between a journalism and an activist is nothing. It's all about putting clear thought and clear concentration
yes.
on somewhat complex issues. Now, to be honest
mm-hmm.
with you, a lot of these issues aren't as complex as we've made them out to be, but
no.
because a lot of people just don't want to talk about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's what sets it a little bit different, and Gary's never really been afraid to confront that in the way that he has. And I think, like you said,
mm-hmm.
that's what's always set him apart from everybody.
Yes. Well, gentlemen, we're getting ready to close out here so that we can prepare for G. Reggie, give us some wisdom to walk with as we head toward the top of the hour.
Just going to say real quick that people are talking about the George Floyd bill. No, I'm talking about 2021 and 2024. The racists
mm-hmm.
have already set the button down, and Democrats are playing checkers once again. Republicans
mm-hmm.
are not infected. Yes, they're coming up with capitalists and some other high
yeah.
standards as far as education. It's a damn shame that the vice president said there's no racism in America. But yet, when it comes to black folks getting reparation for the Black Wall Street and other atrocities done to our race, we're told
mm-hmm.
to order down, sit down, and shut up. But gays and other
yep.
people can stand and talk about their issues, and they break the door down for them. Something's wrong
no
with that
question.
Issue.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. Well said. Tony, do you have any last wisdom to put in the pot before we see Gary at 4 o'clock?
Yeah, and in that same vein, it's very interesting that you know, the Republican Party refuses to do this January 6th
mm-hmm.
commission. I think, you know, if Biden's got any balls, he ought to override
mm-hmm.
it and do it any damn
think.
Way.
That's
you know?
Right.
But we're so busy trying to appease Israel and so many other things that it gets lost in the sauce. So
yeah.
Again, let me just, you know, if you're a real president, you override that stuff. And still because look, they were going after him. They're you know,
yeah.
you still got folks that are trying to tell you that the asshole won the election. And it's like,
yeah.
really?
Exactly.
Really?
Yeah. That makes for a very fucked up situation.
Yeah.
I will echo you gentlemen's sentiments by saying that, as Reggie led off, there's an anti-Asian hate bill, but everything that's been done up to this point has been anti-black. All right? Nobody wants Asians to get hurt. Who's made the perpetrator of this? Who's made the fall guy for this? Because all this legislation is anti-black. Where Michael Bloomberg did the heinous shit he did in New York City, he made it clear that black people were hard targets. What I mean by that, they were more likely to get stopped and harassed. You weren't going to stop an Asian person or a white person. They were considered soft targets. But the black and brown guys, they were the hard targets. They would get run up on. Incidents would happen. Their privacy would be violated because some white guy said so. And now we come into legislation. George Floyd, well, that's anti-black. Why is it anti-black? Because they had to make it in the first place. Guilt made them get to that point, but they're not going to carry through and follow and say, treating black people this way is wrong. No, they'll say it about Asians, but they won't say it about black people. And that leaves us really in a fucked up situation because nobody should do wrong against anybody, but we're not living in a fantasy world here. This was set up to take away from the humanity of black folks. No matter what or whenever a George Floyd bill gets done, if it ever gets done, the fact that this society has taken all of that away and dehumanized black people even further by saying, you're not worth our time because we knew what we were doing. We knew how seditious this shit was on January 6th. We know how bad it is now, and we're still not going to address it because we're fearful of the future. And the future is there's going to be more black folks, more brown folks, more yellow folks, more red folks than white folks. That's because of genetics, not eugenics. The human crop will continue to harvest, and it will also maintain its dominance, its hybrid vigor, all of the things that indicate in genetics that something that's the majority will remain the majority by sheer science. Make all the other arguments you want and try to come up with as screwy pseudoscience crap you want. That doesn't change from the fact that there will be more folks than white folks, because you're at the end of the genetic scale. That ain't my railing about racism or anything like that. That ain't me pushing out a whole lot of hate. That is the quintessential truth. At 4 o'clock, maybe we'll talk about it, but it will be G's time to shine. It will be his 1,000th show. And I play this for G. We'll see you all at the top of the hour at the Grey Leopard Cove. My brother Tony McClain, my brother Reggie. Everybody, please go safe, stay safe, be safe. Once it gets made to B and back to A. Okay. to also remind you that tomorrow evening at 7 p.m., we will conclude the Big Big Tournament for single performers. We are down to our final four couplings. Thursday night, we started off with Luther and James Brown. Yesterday, Gary chimed in with Billy Paul and Ronnie Isley. Sunday, a doubleheader. We start off 7 p.m. Eastern. Gary will lead off with Marvin Gaye against Marvin Jr. of the Dells. And we finish off the evening with the battle for Stax Records as Otis Redding will go against Isaac Hayes. The winners of these matches will then go up against our female winners, Sade, Aretha Franklin, Tina Marie, and Chaka Khan, in a series of man and woman concerts, which you think you'll all enjoy. Tony, I know the music has been going on for quite a while, and it's almost coming to an end. You've got more things planned, but did you enjoy the effort, and was there anything you heard on there that you thought, I might add this to the collection?
Maybe not so much add to it, but make sure I can, because, you know, the sad thing is we don't listen to music now the way we used to, and that can, that's a good or a bad thing. Now there's a little bit more access, I guess, but all it does is just, it puts you in a mood, you know, I know for me, when I hear certain songs, I'm reminded of, I'm reminded of what it makes me feel and what I remember where I was when I first heard it. I'll give you when Stevie Wonder's Songs in the Key of Life came out.
Yes.
A good buddy of mine went to, and see, kids will never, kids will never realize the whole deal of going to the store to record stores and buying an album when it first comes out. And we literally listened to that whole album. We spent the rest of the day listening to the rest of that album. And we literally had an eargasm, in a sense, because of just, to me, that's still one of the five greatest albums of all time. I mean, and that's a project in and of itself, I guess.
I miss going to record stores. I love record stores. I mean, that was my bane of existence for the longest time. In New York City, there was a place called Downstairs Records.
It
was in an office building. You had to go downstairs, and in the bottom area, they had all the records stacked out, and they had this little radio record player over in the corner, so that if you weren't sure that this was the record, but it sounded like the record, you could go and play it. And that store was there for years. And I think they do an online business now, but everybody went to Downstairs Records at some point or another, whether you were looking for a specific oldie, or then they'd start making compilations of oldies and stuff like that, and everybody used to wear that place out. It was a wonderful place, and the fact that you could get lost in there buying records for a whole time, and of course J&R, other places like that that were selling records, even back in the day when Disco Matt was selling records and so $3.99 and shit like that, and cutoffs for $1.99. I loved going to get records and stuff like that. And this is not just a reminder of the great culture we have, but the fact that this music maintained our humanity. You know, you can't tell us what we are. We are black pearls. Those beautiful women, they are our sisters. We love them. You know, don't give me this other horse shit. We know what we are. And that's what music constantly reminded us, at least for me, that's what reminded us. That's our humanity.
Sure.
You can't mess with our humanity.
And you know, we were all lucky enough to grow up in the 70s where I still feel that was, you know, and again, like you can argue, I think that was the greatest era of music from literally from 1970 to 79. Now, it's funny. There was something a friend of mine, she's a little bit, you know, she's younger, and she had, she put a thing on Facebook saying, New Edition is the greatest R&B group ever. Changed my mind. And I was like, okay. I get what you're saying. But no, I get what you're saying. But see, without the Temps or the Impressions or the Four Tops or and so on and so on, New Edition wouldn't have been given an opportunity. And her thing was, and her thing was, well, you know, they all broke off into individual groups, so their sustainability wasn't there. And I'm like, Ralph Tresvant, Belle Biv DeVoe, I mean, you could even say Johnny Gill for the small time that he was there. I mean, look, I get it. You know, everybody gets territorial with their era of music. You know,
yes, they
now.
Do.
This is where I'm gonna have my old man in the barbershop moment where I respect what New Edition has done over the years and everything. And by the way, Bobby Brown broke off into his own as well. But you know, that's another 2.5 hour conversation that I'm gonna win. But that's a whole other story. I think the thing is that I mean it's beyond the whole Bugs Bunny cartoon of music calm the savage beast, but there's truth to that. There's truth to power in just that statement because I know over the years my music tastes have gone back and forth. Somebody was asking me the other day, you know, who are my favorites, and it's tough to say what now. One of the standard answers I always give is Stevie Wonder, Public Enemy, and Charlie Parker. And I'm the person I said to them, what? And I'm like, the thing was, it's like, that's how our, you know, thing, that's how we as black folks listen to music. Whether
that's right.
it could be Wynton Marsalis. It could be what's my man's name? Louis Jordan.
Could be him. Yep.
See, I like. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I'm with you on all aspects of that. That you not just ran off names of performers, but names of eras. You know, because you think Louis Jordan, you know, people won't get it unless they're old enough that. You're also talking about the time. That's where Morris Day and all those cats got their thing from. You know, Louis Jordan and Ray Brown and Winoni Harris, the Jump Blues guys, they stole from that. Not stole, but they cleverly took from that.
But see, it's not so much stole. Like, it's not so much stole, but see, they honor them with that. Look,
the right word.
The only difference. Look, the only difference between Caledonia. And the bird is tempo.
Yeah,
it's still it's still the basic thing. I can still hear my ma singing Caledonia in the house. You know,
it gets so hard.
Stop, you know?
Yeah,
and see what's great is also, and this is the great thing about you know the internet and what have you. A lot of those things have been preserved over the years.
Yes.
You know these You know, those little musical shorts that they used to do back in the day, they were basically the prelude to MTV.
They sure were. That's exactly right. Soundies, I think they called them.
Yes. Mm-hmm. There's one of my favorite ones is Duke Ellington's, you know, Take the A-Train, because it shows you the train, but it also shows you, you know, 125th Street, 147th Street. And then when you hear that piano kicking, you know exactly what I'm and that, and you know, it's like a call to arms, you know.
Yeah.
And see, that's the thing that music has and still will be able to do. I try not to bash all the modern artists, But it's tough to get whatever about them. Now there's a handful of them out there that do get I think do get it, and they stay traditional. But unfortunately, and again, I'm trying my best not to go into a old man in the mountains rap, but it all starts to sound the same after a while.
But you're right. You're right. I had to get myself out of the mental barrier that good music stopped in the 90s because there weren't people creating individual artistic licenses for themselves. Now, I know there were some. They just didn't have the effectivity that others did, but everything you said hits it right on the head. It's like, okay, yeah, there's a time frame that establishes maybe who I am in terms of my musical taste, but that time frame is also cultural. Like you, the 70s were important for me. The 60s, the late 60s were important for me. That's when black people looked at themselves in the mirror and they loved what they saw. It wasn't anymore another old shit. It really was Black and Proud and people bobbing. Like you talk about the beginning of Shaft, the movie, and the score and how it's played. That's the essence of what I'm hitting on. The fact that his brother's just doing his thing, walking down the street, minding his own business, and it's flavor to it. There's a flavor that they can't touch it. It's unbelievable.
It's weird, and I don't want to get into a whole thing of movies, but it's almost impossible not to. You know, there was a presence of Sidney Poitier in Raising in the Sun when he talks about when he talks about when Willie took his money. I used to be able to recite that thing by rote. I'd have to watch it a couple times again, just whatever. But in that same vein, like I said, to me, when I watched the opening, the show, it was like a religious experience because I was, you know, one, paranoid because I snuck into an R-rated theater and I wasn't, you know, 17. this is the rush of that. But then it was like being it was like being brought into a whole new world. And see, one of my pet peeves is, God forgive me, is when white folks go on and on about Motown. And I'm like, y'all, you know, y'all don't even know.
Y'all don't even know. That's exactly right.
Because just watching the Supremes and the Temps on Ed Sullivan doesn't mean you get it. You know?
Thank you.
It doesn't mean you
get it. That's exactly right. You brought Gary back. You brought Gary back on that one. G, give us a preview of what's coming up at the top of the hour, please.
Well, we're going to talk about baseball, basketball, hockey playoffs. And the tragedy in San Diego a couple of days ago, and Republican Party once again ignoring the issue, and not dealing with gun control. So as we go to today.
You know, it's funny. You know, you would think that those MFs had to get evacuated out of the Capitol, so those guys could.
You would think
GP they would be like, this needs to be investigated, but no, they're still in their clannish way of thinking, and I forget, but there was actually somebody that came out and basically said, I don't want to rub Mr. Trump the wrong way.
And I'm like, really? That's the whole thing about this. As the Republican Party, I'm telling you, I'm going to tell my hour from now, the Republican Party is going to split between the Donald Trump Republicans and the conservative Republicans. There's going to be two Republican parties at the end of this year. Watch.
I think it's already there. I think it's pretty much already there.
They're going to lose big time in 2022.
Oh, yeah.
and it's funny, they're saying that's one of the reasons why they don't want to do it, because they don't want this to become a political issue. Man, please, yes. that horse has passed silver, citation, secretariat, and all of them combined. And he ain't never coming back.
Never coming back. That's exactly right. But GB had to also recognize the music. I really appreciate the work you put in the tournament. And now it comes to a head tomorrow evening, 7 o'clock, Marvin Gaye versus Marvin Jr. of the Dells. How do you see this matchup, brother?
I think it's going to be a barber, because both of these guys can wail. If I had my choice, I would call it toss-up. I could choose between two of them.
Is Vegas getting in on any of this at all?
I don't think Vegas won none of this, but I digress.
But I agree, Michael, Tony, you would not believe that the radio station in the Bay Area is doing something similar to what we're doing. And amazing.
So somebody's copying us. You're saying somebody's copying us as of right now.
Well,
yes.
all these online battles, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
I find it interesting that all of a sudden, once y'all started doing the tournament that would never end, I'm still not gonna believe it's over until the last record's played. So I'm going under the premise that next week you'll still have another promo talking about, you know, oh, this is the last week. This is the very, very last week.
You guys, in a couple of weeks, I'm gonna do a very interesting thing about singers with disabilities. And I wanna see how they're gonna react to that.
Well, we already know Brother Ray is going to be in that show. So,
yes.
It'll be interesting. Exactly. So, that's going to be fun.
The most important thing is, are you going to put Blind Mellow Jelly and his son Potbelly on there? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, okay.
Wasn't his son's name Peanut Butter and Jelly? But I digress.
No, it was Potbelly. I want my daddy's records.
That's right. Well, I'm gonna leave both of y'all with a little taste for Sunday. We'll see Gary at the top of the hour. Marvin Gaye against Marvin Jr. And Marvin Jr. and that amazing baritone holding the note for 15 seconds as he closes up. What is the closest thing to a soul aria?
God, I can't even hold a thought for 15 seconds.
the rainbow.
You know, it's Grand and Great Lipikova at the top of the hour. Would you all please stand for the national anthem?
Marvin didn't try to be magic or charismatic and all that. He just was. Even when he sung the national anthem, I mean, it was Marvin Gaye. You know, it was just unique. It was special.
Can you see by the dawn? So proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming. Whose broad stripes and pride
and the whole